Well, everyone, I just want to welcome you again to another wonderful opportunity here as we're just trying to bring the message of the gospel here with these wonderful men of God, because today I have them back on because we want to talk about revival. We want to talk about what God is doing in America and what's wrong. Why are we not seeing revival? Why are things not going and what you would think would be happening in what we consider one of the best countries in the world? God, we're looking for opportunity here. And we're going to share tonight and talking and singing and praising the Lord. What's wrong? Why isn't revival happening in America? And what can we do to fix it? So without further ado, we're going to start with a song with our brother Joel.
Thank you, brother. God, I'm Jacob, great I am. King of angels, son of man. Voice of many waters, song of heaven's throne. Louder than the thunder, make your glory known. Hell, hell, lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hell, hell, lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hell, hell, lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hell, hell, lion of Judah, let the lion roar, 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 roar. Right of Zion, prophet spoken, I'm Messiah, flesh and bone. Lord, unworthy to open up the scroll. Like a lamb you suffer, but the lion has a roar. Hell, hell, lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hell, hell, lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Let the lion roar. Hell, hell, lion of Judah, let the lion roar. 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 Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Oh valley, be raised up. Oh mountain, be made low. Oh valley, be raised up. Oh mountain, be made low.
Amen, Brother Joel. That was wonderful. Although I still can't figure out to find the lion on the TikTok. It's just not showing up for me. I don't know what it is. I got only six little icons on the tools tab, and that's it. I could do the hand puppet for the cat for you, but I can't be the lion, so I don't know what it is.
I'll show you. I'll have to do a little tutorial for you.
See, even the tech guy doesn't always know what he's doing. But the funny thing is, that's just a wonderful thing. We're going to have to get a little snippet recording of everyone going live, and they have the cute little lion heads on. He sings this song, and it's just wonderful. So we're going to go with Wayne's quote, because you notice Wayne's not here. We have Joel's here, Chuck is here, and Charles here, but Wayne's not here. He's actually, I think, with his daughter at a swim meet right now, so that's why he's not actually here. So what he said, to answer the question, and I'm going to say the question again that we said in the beginning, what is the hindrances to revival? In other words, why can't revival happen in America? What's wrong with America? Why is it not happening? What are the issues? Here's what Wayne Giles of Lost and Found Agency says. He says, to me, and this is Wayne speaking, he says, to me, it's because of the division amongst the churches. Instead of being the hands and feet of Jesus, churches are more concerned with financials, status, politics, sexuality. We need to shift our focus back to God and being about His work and not our own. We need to be unified together, working as one body and one church, and that is the church God has called us to be. Again, that is Wayne Giles of Lost and Found Agency. So next up is my good friend. Let's see, who do I want to ask? I think I'm going to ask Chuck. Hey, Chuck, what do you think is, what is happening in America? Why is not revival happening? What's wrong?
Well, I can speak from like my life perspective and the things that I have seen over my 52 turns around the sun. I'm going to side with Wayne, and you know, there is a lot of division on everything in this country. You know, men versus women, you know, racial division, old versus young, Coke versus Pepsi. I mean, that was drilled into us throughout the greater part of the 80s, the cola wars. Woo! We can't agree on anything. Entire churches will split over the color of carpet in the sanctuary. And then, you know, pride kind of settles in. You know, we disagree, but that's not enough. We disagree, but I'm right, you're wrong. And it just goes further and further and further to where, you know, if we can't agree on this, how can we agree to come together corporately as a believing and faith body on how worship is going to go, how we're going to structure our church? It's almost like a lot of these churches are like as strong as a house of cards. The wind changes direction and the whole thing falls apart. And I think really, you know, coming out of that experience is kind of how we want our church, you know, at Lost and Found Fellowship, to be united on all things. Now, we're not going to agree. We surely aren't. But, you know, even the Bible tells us how to live and how to conduct our affairs, you know, in that realm when there is disagreement. You know, like some folks eat meat, some folks don't. You know, some folks celebrate this holiday or observe it. Some folks don't, you know, don't poke fun at each other. Don't, you know, come for one another just because they do life a little differently than you. I mean, ultimately, it's unless it's like something that is overtly demonic, it's not a salvation issue. Hey, carry on. Enjoy one another. And that's like the biggest things that I see. I mean, especially with this pride, like this self-centered worldview, you know, what you have to say is valuable. How do you feel? What do you think? What do you believe? And there's just been so much focus on that. Like, it's almost as if we are conditioned to believe that we are the only person in this universe. And our word is the final word on anything and we should be heard. And it's so much so that there are some people that say, this is who I am and this is how you're going to refer to me. That's big for me as to why, I mean, if we can't agree on small things, how are we going to come together for revival? And that's what I love the most about what's happening with Freedom Fest. We had four nearly perfect strangers coming together at God's leading and talking this out, kicking these ideas around, and we are 15 days away from kickoff and nearly everything is in place. I mean, there's some fine tuning going on, but those are the big things that I see as far as hindrances to, and when you lay those things down, as you've seen in previous years with the big one, I believe in Kentucky, where folks just came and worshiped and loved on one another and prayed for and over each other and spoke life over one another. And that went on for how long? That's what we aspire to and pray for, in our revival and in future endeavors with events like Freedom Fest.
You're exactly correct. And, it all has that foundation. And Joel, I know you're getting ready to sing a song. We have that foundation for revival. It's a lifestyle change that everyone goes through. And it's a foundation of prayer. So when you have those things happening in your home and in your work, and you start having people pray and see things change, because revival isn't just, okay, I'm gonna put a flyer up, invite all these people. It's free, you get free whatever, and then all these people just show up and they just want to keep staying there. No, there's a whole lot more to it, and a whole lot more in depth in what God wants to do. So without further ado, Joel, you want to bring us another song?
Sorry. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I'll raise a hallelujah. Heaven come to fight for me. 'Cause I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the keys are love. I'll raise a will
presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder, heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder, in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder, heaven comes to fight for me.
What it's all about is actually standing up and wanting to be available. Do what God has called you to do. Which now leads us to Brother Charles. And we're going to ask you the same question. What? You've been doing these lives for several months now. You've been in ministry for several years. You know, you've been behind the scenes with prayer meetings, ministry leaders, youth, adults. What is going on with America? Why is there a problem with revival? We know that there's issues, as we've heard, of division. We know that there's issues of making decisions off something simple as carpet. And people can't make a decision of what they want to do. They're not wanting to be authentic and servanthood leaders anymore in certain places. And I've experienced this talking to people in other countries and here in the States. And we're all having the same problems. So, Brother Charles, what do you think is wrong? Why are we not having a revival in America?
If you look at the old school prophets, they ask people to repent. We don't ask our people to repent anymore. We tell them that it's okay to feel. We tell them it's okay to claim I am statements, when that is a direct reflection of where we put our negative connotations on God, because he is the great I am. We don't ask anybody to repent anymore, and we sure don't ask anybody to submit. We let them surrender long enough to feel good for just a minute, so they can either be like Hogan's Heroes and go in and disrupt enemy lines, or they submit long enough, surrender long enough to escape. But they don't ever submit. And they don't change. In true repentance means that you change your course of direction. And as a country, as a world, we're not doing that. It is all about me. It is all about I am, in a different version. We have perverted it from it being about Christ as our source to it being about Christ when we want to treat him like Santa Claus. I ate, I prayed, I meditated, you owe me. We don't have any desire to owe him anything. We expect him to give us everything that we want. And a big part of it is because we have so much division with the churches, they can be on the same city block and still not work together. So we've started commenting that we get to be the body of Christ instead of body parts, because our purpose is singular. It's about kingdom business. It's about our Father's business. And if that's our focus and that's our mantra and that's our call to action, it's not about me. It's not about any one of the four of us. It's not about the group that we're bringing together. It's about the kingdom. And when we make it about that, we have watched Old Testament, New Testament, how that works when we have a heart that says, here I am, Lord, send me. When we have a heart that says yes and amen, we can't pay him back for what he did. But we can live our lives in such a way that we say thank you. That when people see us, they see our Redeemer. They see our lives to be redeemed. And that's the only way that it works. I didn't get saved until I was 33. And a part of that was because I didn't see myself as any different than the Christians that drank at the bar with me. They just didn't get as drunk as me. They didn't just get as partying as me. And for the 2 years before I got sold out to Christ, I went to church with them. And then I went to the bar with them. And so I thought I was good. And we don't teach reverence anymore. We don't have a healthy fear of the fact that we are going to stand before the creator of the universe, and we're either going to have our righteous clothes, our wedding clothes on, or he's going to say, where's your wedding clothes? And he's going to bind us and throw us out. And we don't teach that enough anymore because we're afraid to lose people in the seats. We're afraid to lose money for the church. We're afraid to lose all these things. The beautiful part about the four of us is that's not our focus. Our focus is we are one day closer to Jesus coming back than we've ever been. And at the end of this life, we're going to give an account to what we did with the gifts that he gave us. And if we handle this correctly, when we handle this correctly as men who want to honor God with our lives, with our yes and our amen. That is how we don't just start a spark. We don't just start a little barbecue fire. We don't even just start a forest fire. We start a Holy Spirit fire that they can see from the moon, that'll start in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and start to spark across this country and spark across this world. If he's in Pakistan and Africa, coming to people in their dreams, he's ready to come back for the remnant. And it is time that we pay attention to that. And the fact that he's taken four people who nobody knew who we were, nobody still really knows who we are, and we're going to bring the four of us together in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, to support the community and be the hands and feet of Christ as we bring revival to their community. We're starting something different because it's not about us. We're not bringing in a big name to try to draw crowds. We're not doing any of that. The big name is Jesus Christ. But we're not bringing a worldly name. And we are going to challenge people to repent and turn to Christ. Not make him their first, but make him their always. And I think that's how we start revival. It has to start with our hearts. Ezekiel 8 talks about God and the temple and jealousy being at the gate and what they had buried in the walls. If you look at us, we are his temple. What do we have buried in our hearts that he is trying to raise out of us so that we can be brought through the refiner's fire? And when we allow him to do that with our yes and our amen, we will see a revival in this country as we repent and we turn to Christ.
You know, I'm reminded of my wife's grandfather had a story about, and you all probably have this. Do you know the town angry man? The one that would yell, that would scream, he would cuss, drink, throw people through the wall, get kicked out of the bar, get kicked out of the jail and have to go in isolation. Well, there was a guy kind of like that. And he was nasty. And of course, you know, here in Ohio, we get snow. And one day, he couldn't get out of his driveway. So her grandfather, you know, her uncle, went down to plow his driveway free of charge. And he didn't just do it one day. He did it every day for the whole winter. We're talking about 3 or 4 months. And he couldn't figure out how to do it. He'd go to bed, he'd wake up, or he'd leave or something, and it was plowed. And once he finally found out, he's like, well, I don't want you doing this anymore. Like, okay, I'm going to do it for free. You're doing it for free? And eventually this guy, over time, over doing kindness and different things, he eventually gets the word put into his heart. He eventually accepts Jesus into his life. And then what does he do? He takes a rope and throws it back into the pit with all the other people he once hung out with. And he starts pulling them out of the pit. And they start getting saved. That's how revival happens. But as you said earlier, there has to be a moment of repentance. And there's different meetings that I attend to, prayer meetings of different cultures across the world, whether it's South Africa or Uganda or China or Russia or Mexico or Canada or here in the U.S. and different states. That's the forefront of the revival meetings, prayer meetings that we're having. We're talking about, Lord, look inside of my heart. Look inside my life. What am I doing wrong? What is our community doing wrong? How can we fix it? Lord, we want to repent of our ways. If America does not get back to a lifestyle of repentance, of flesh dying daily, America will not be the America that we know. It's going to radically change worse than what we think it is now. Because when the Holy Spirit decides to leave America, the dark days will come in. And we don't want that. This is an opportunity we're facing right now for Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And at this point, I want to ask Chuck if he can pray the prayer that America will repent. And we're all going to go around and we're all going to pray. And then we'll go and have Joel sing and have him share his prayer as well. But I want to start with Chuck next, because I think we need to have this prayer together so we can set the example. And those that listen to this later, we request that you pray along with this as well. Chuck?
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. For the seeds of ideas and thoughts that you have placed amongst this group of your people, Lord, that turned into conversations, Lord, that you directed into action, that this event has been planned to lift up and to glorify your name, while at the same time, over 100 folks from across the country are going to descend on this small city to love on the community here, to bring revival, to pray for revival, to believe for revival, and to be vessels, to be used, led, and directed, Father God, by your Holy Spirit to bring revival, to be the spark that ignites the fire that just burns across this country, Lord. That denominational lines and boundaries would fall, that works-based theology just dissipates, Lord, when you show up. Open eyes, open ears, and change hearts and minds. And we thank you for the opportunity to be used by you to bring this about. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Charles, you want to do a prayer next?
Father God, we ask that you would help our hearts. You would reveal in us our unbelief, and you would start today to prepare the hearts that are coming. From all of the TikTokers that are coming in to the people who live there, that you would prepare in them a heart that is ready to hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the people would repent in droves to the point that the Holy Spirit just falls on the town of Oak Ridge and feeds into the surrounding communities in such a way that the drugs are gone, that all of the wayward behavior is like a nasty smell to their nostrils and their taste buds, that they would want you more than anything else in this world. Father God, I ask that you would prepare us for the attacks of the enemy, and you would remind us that when you said it was finished, you even knew about these attacks that are coming, and that we would stand firm, 10 toes down, ready with the gospel of peace, that we would have so much peace and so much joy that the people who are craving it would just come to it because they want more of you than they've ever had. Help this to continue to be about you as the center and not about any one of us. Help us to be able to say thank you with our very lives for what you did on the cross. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Brother Joel.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I thank you for this opportunity that we get to go and to impact this community, that we can be bold. If we can impact one person, if one person can come to the kingdom for that whole weekend, it can start a fire. One can turn into 10, 10 can turn to 100, 100 can turn into 1,000,000. Lord, I just want to impact one person for you. Let us show your love, not the watered down version of Christianity, not the watered down of who I am, because you say that you are the great I am. May we show up and be bold, loving, show patience, peace, and kindness towards everybody that shows up that whole weekend, that we can just be there and start a fire, start a revival, that we can be your church. We just want to love on these people like you loved on them, because you loved them first. So Lord, just enable us to speak with great boldness, to reach out and show that there are true Christians, followers, believers of Christ that really just want to love on them. We say this all in your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
When music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply go. Long just to bring something that's a word that won't bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things have been. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Give it this word, no one could express how much you deserve. Though weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just want to repent of anything that is holding and hindering back America from revival. Lord, we want to repent of anything that has been done to our brother or sister or family member. Lord, we want to repent for anything that is a hindrance to revival within the communities of our nation. Lord, we want to repent of the problems that have happened from denomination to denomination. Lord, we just want to serve you today, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just want to be the hands and feet that you called us to be. Lord Jesus, we want to say, here am I. Lord, send me. Here am I to do your will, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful blessings. Lord Jesus, please cover by your wonderful power and your wonderful blood. Cover Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Cover all the ministries that are working together to fulfill the Great Commission online, on TikTok, and Discord, and all the other social media accounts. And as they prepare to go to Tennessee, during the event at Tennessee, and then what you plan for their lives, that their lives be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ after Tennessee, going back to their communities, being a light in the darkness so others could be pulled out of the pit of darkness, that they'll be able to be stewards of Jesus Christ, that they will see the power of Jesus Christ and their going and coming of all their days. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And we just pray, God, for the souls that will be touched over these next 15 days. Lord, prepare the way. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you'll do in this season. It is an honor and privilege to be able to serve you. And God, we just ask right now for those that are sick, for those that are hurting, for those that are struggling right now, that you just wrap your arms around them. You bring them their financial needs. You bring them their provisions. You bring them the things that they need in their life so that they can see Jesus, that the Holy Spirit can speak to them. You help them out in these moments right now, God. By the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to thank Joel and Chuck and Charles today for a mighty message that is needed for America to see revival in the days ahead. America's greatest days are still ahead of it. But it takes men and women to want to stand up and say, yes, Lord, we need help. Yes, Lord, we must repent. Let us be prepared for the next 15 days. If you cannot attend, if you cannot give, you cannot show up, you can pray. You can share. There's ways to communicate with these great men. We'll have all that information listed down below. I hope you have a good evening or good day anytime you watch this. God bless.